Blog Talk Radio.
Children, they matter.
Open our eyes. Yes, open our eyes. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you are listening to another edition. Thank you for taking the time out this evening to tune in to Progressive News Weekly, where on Thursday evening, such as this warm summer evening, at least on the East Coast, and I believe in most of the United States, continental United States, it's probably very similar. So I'm wishing all of you who are listening that you're well and at peace and are ready to enjoy an evening of enlightenment and encouragement and empowerment. And hopefully, well, you'll be instilled to make a difference in someone else's life through the information that you're going to be getting this evening. This evening, we have another packed program that I truly believe you'll be inspired through. And so I'm going to ask, as I always do, or usually do, that you get on our mail list. And if you're on the mail list, share with someone else. You'll do that by simply sending me an email, Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A, 1-8 at msn.com would be the email you can send it to, or you can send it simply to our main mailbox at Progressive News. That's Progressive, spelled out completely, N-E-W-S, no spaces, Progressive News at msn.com. And if you'll send that email out, and we'll get you on the mail list, and so you'll know in advance what the topic for that week is going to be and or the guest is going to be, because we typically do usually have a guest that's articulating the subject matter from an experienced and most often expert perspective. This evening is no exception, and we're so pleased for our guest this evening to be joining us. He is a regular guest, a friend of Progressive News, and certainly one that has enlightened many lives over the years. But before we go there, just a quick little highlight. I had an opportunity to travel. I was in our fair capital over the last week. And speaking of enlightenment, that's been a very enlightening experience. I've been to D.C. many, many times, as it's sort of in the backyard, relatively speaking. It's about a three-hour drive from, or three and a half from Jersey. You could get into 4 hours or plus if you run into traffic, but relatively not a bad drive if you should decide to drive down. Of course, it's a skip and a hop if you're flying in. But we went in, and one of the things that I've known about D.C., also known via George Clinton, Funkadelic, as Chocolate City. And it's known as Chocolate City for a very, very simple reason, because, well, as most people, but some may not realize, D.C. is predominantly African-American, or minority, I'll say now, town. It's not a huge town, a few miles square, but it is a predominantly black town. And, you know, one thing I was reminded of when I went into Chocolate City was just, the conditions, especially in the black neighborhoods. I could use the term deplorable. And it just, as I'm riding through, and a couple of occasions I took a cab or an Uber to go where I needed to go, and having conversations with some of the locals, it just seems to be just sort of an accepted fact. And there is something called gentrification, where, basically you have an inner city environment, and it is it is systematically a process of renovating an area and improving an area or a district so that it conforms to middle or upper class taste. Now that may sound very well. The only problem is that often in gentrification, there's a displacement that takes place. There's a displacement because very often there's a lower middle or even lower class in terms of income and social styles. There's a class that is often uplifted, and without too often in these cases any real plan for their well-being. And so they're just displaced and out on the street. And as we drove through, it was literally horrendous to see what was going on. Now, remember, in this gentrification, it's usually a scenario where that renovation of that area or district is to conform to a middle class. What we're seeing more so in this gentrification is an upper middle class conformation that's taking place. We've experienced it here in my town, gentrification, where areas that were once lower middle or areas that housed lower class citizens. When I say lower class, I'm not talking about in terms of their mindset necessarily. I'm in this case, I'm speaking of income. And of course, with that comes all those other things, lack of health care, lack of education, and of course a mindset that is somewhat regressive, relatively speaking, because when you start talking about increased number of drug users, all of that plays in when you have a lack of income. And so as I'm riding through, I'm seeing literally street after street of African Americans literally on the sidewalk, some in cots, some just wandering, it seems mindlessly. Now, I don't want to just place this picture that it was just total devastation, as though you were somewhere in war-torn Iraq or somewhere. No, it was not that. But relatively speaking to where it was, I mean, we're talking about the richest, arguably, nation on the planet and the capital of that nation. To see that is completely deplorable. And what it reminded me of was this whole political scheme that's going on and how you have this one political regime, you know, plotting and ploying against the other political regime. And I'm saying, this didn't just start to myself. This isn't something that just happened in the last 3 years or the last 6 years or the last 10 years. Something's been, it's been going on. See, I've been going to D.C. for 20 years and it hasn't changed. Or more, actually. But it hasn't changed. And it's so similar to what's happening in many major cities. So it just makes you, as my homeboy Arsenio Hall used to say on his show, it just makes you want to go, what's wrong with this picture? And what's wrong with our politics? So without going into that too deeply, we did have a program last week where we had Mr. Ronald Crenshaw on, and we did talk a little bit about the political state of our nation and some of the causes of our societal existence here. Again, relatively speaking, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than in America, relatively speaking. But we have to speak on these things. We can't just speak from the perspective of how well we may be doing. Not that I'm doing all that great, folks. Don't misunderstand. But we also have to look at those who have less than. And until we on a broad, and this is, I guess you could just say, my editorial, until we look at this from a broad base, a broad perspective, from all of us who, everything is relative, are doing a lot better than some of the folks that are in our communities. And when I think again, and I'll close on this, where this is taking place, it is really sad. And I would say, not being a politician even, and not sitting in those seats, I would say inexcusable. So we need to do more, and whatever we can individually, we need to try to make that happen. I've made some sacrifices, and my family would tell you that, myself, in trying to make a difference here in my community. And some would say, well, probably need to do more. But it's only so much you can do, but you need to do something. You see, you got to think about your family first. You know, it's like that airplane scenario. When the plane's having a problem, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So we have to be careful with that, because sometimes to a fault, I myself even just have that heart that wants to do so much, but I've got to also step back and say, wait a minute, let me make sure home base is good. So I'm saying all that to say, you know, make sure home base is good, but we all need to be doing a lot more, and we need to be looking at this political campaign that's taking place a lot more closely. And we need to be looking at it independently, not in terms of Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. You see, as I was also there, I was, well, doing a little bit of the tourist thing, and without doing the tourist thing, because it's hard to really get boots on the ground in D.C., as they say, or sneakers or shoes on the ground, without running into some historical district. And I was in one district, and it was where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. They still have the theater intact and the home where he actually died across the street. And, of course, they have mountains of information. Well, they have a lot of information about the whole situation with Abraham Lincoln and how he truly did want to be an advocate for the slaves. And ultimately, I believe from all the documentation and research I've done, probably played a role in his demise. But very, very interesting that in some of these same areas where Lincoln had a major impact in slaves having a significant amount of freedom, right now in D.C., you don't see very many signs of that liberation. And it truly is sad. And this is no affront against white folks, because they're everywhere. I mean, it comes back to what is going on, generally speaking, in our education that's leading to us not having the incomes that would bring about some equity there. So we're going to be visiting this topic significantly more, especially as we go into this political season right now. And I would just suggest that you take a broad look and be very careful jumping on a bandwagon. And I'm not pushing Republicanism. I'm not pushing Democratism. I'm not pushing independentism, if I can use those words. I'm saying step back and clear the titles and look at what needs to be done, what has and has not been done over the last 20 years, regardless of the party. And then think about what needs to be done, regardless of the party, and start looking at these individuals. And I think that's going to be very important, very, very important. And we're going to be getting into some more details on that. I think there's a debate. There was a debate yesterday as well as the day before. And I try not to do the politics, but this is something that's going to affect all of us. I think this is a good time to tune in just a little bit to see what's going on and have some uncommon discourse with your family and your neighbors and your associates about what's going on. Because a person is carrying a title does not mean that they're living up to what your expectations may be. That's why I'm saying get away from titles, folks. So, with that said, let's get into our program this evening. That was just a little narrative because it's just still in my mindset what I saw. And, you know, you see it more readily when you're coming from the outside, because I'm sure there are folks that come right in my town and in a certain area of the town that I live in. They may say, in fact, I remember someone coming up to me. I was in the little downtown area of the town I'm in, Plainfield, and someone came up to me and asked if I was a politician. I was coming from a meeting. I didn't even have a suit on. I just had on, you know, business casual. And they said, "Are you a politician?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, you know, I'm from XYZ town," which is more of a middle upper middle class town. And they said, "You know, I used to live here, and when I came in town, it was just really kind of disgusting to see how dirty the town, you know, the town was, and I just thought you were a politician. I need to talk with someone at City Hall." So everything is relative. Everything is relative. That's why I say we all need to be not just pointing fingers, but looking at the thumbs and just speaking independently and speaking truth to power. So with that said, again, I want to zoom back into our program this evening. You know, these airwaves are wide open for you to express your opinion on what we're going to talk about today, which I'm excited about, and also about what else might be on your mind. And if it's something that's going to kind of lead us off away from our topic, then certainly we'll reserve an upcoming program for that. The call-in number is 347-838-9142. This evening, I'm hoping especially that we'll get some callers to join us, especially with our special guest that we have this evening. The number again is 347-838-9142. I encourage you to press 1 on that touch tone pad that you're on, whether it's your cell phone or your landline phone or whatever it is that you're dialing with your iPhone watch, and join in this discourse this evening. And so with that said, our guest this evening returning is Dr. Craig Wright. And for those of you who are regular listeners, and I'm so pleased to say that we have regular listeners every week, Dr. Wright is a noted numerologist. He's also a counselor, a metaphysician. He's an author. And I from my perspective, appreciate him most as just being a humanitarian. And for those of you who have tuned in over the years, you know that. And if you're new to Progressive News Weekly, you'll find that out this evening. He's truly a man with a heart that cares about what's happening in our society. A little bit of background for our new listeners. Dr. Wright holds a PhD in metaphysics, first of all, and we can talk a little bit about that and what that means. But he's also earned a degree in psychology, and he studied religion and philosophy in depth. His work spans well over 3 decades, and his services are sought both nationally and internationally. So this is truly an opportunity, and this evening we're going to talk about numerology and the roles that it has played over the years. You see, numerology, and I'm not going to try to be an expert on this, but I have been around it enough and read enough about it to know that it's been used by more folks than many people realize. It's been noted by business leaders. It's been noted and utilized by political leaders around the world. And so we're going to get into that because it has certainly been an influence. It's noted throughout the Bible, so it's not sacrilegious. And with that said, I want to just bring on our special expert guest in numerology, Dr. Craig Wright. Dr. Wright, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. Dr. Wright? Well, I thought we had Dr. Wright on the line with us. Perhaps not. We have to just zoom out and reconnect Dr. Wright into the program with us. But he will be joining us, and hopefully we can get him connected where we can hear him. Okay, so he says he can hear me, but we cannot hear Dr. Wright. Let's see if we can correct that. Cecil, can you give us a hand with this? Okay. I'm trying to open up his mic. Let's see what we can do here. All right. It's not opening up. He can hear us, but we can't hear him. All right, so Dr. Wright, I'm going to either myself or Cecil. Mercury retrograde. Oh, God, this is so interesting. Yeah, Dr. Wright and I are kind of texting each other. Dr. Wright, let me have you get a call back at the same number. So I'm going to hang up and call you right back and see if we can get the audio working, because I'm really looking forward to this evening's program. Okay? So if you don't mind, hang up, and we're going to call you right back. All right, folks. This is live radio, and that's how it goes. But you can believe that we're not going to stop and give up until we get Dr. Wright on. This isn't the first time that this has actually happened, so let's see here. What's going on with Dr. Wright? So anyway, I would hope that while we're trying to get Dr. Wright back on, that you would appreciate some of that bumper tune that we played earlier, which was Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know some of the folks want to know, who was the artist? Well, that was Earth, Wind, and Fire singing Open Our Eyes. And in fact, you know what? I'm gonna play it just a little bit from that while we bring Dr. Wright back on. And this is some more from that particular album, which is actually titled "Open Our Eyes," by the way. So bear with us. And we'll be right back with Dr. Wright.
Thank you. our eyes. Open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. He has given us hills and mountains. He has given
All right, he has given us. Welcome back. And we have Dr. Wright online with us. Dr. Wright, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Darrell.
Good evening. Welcome back to Progressive News Weekly. We're always thrilled to have you on, is because it's always such an enlightening experience. And so with that, as I was telling the listeners, as I said, we always have a few new, for those who don't understand that whole metaphysics, and we usually do this, could you take 30 seconds or so, or maybe a minute to just kind of talk about what is a metaphysician, and then we'll get into this numerology for this evening.
Well, a metaphysician is someone who, studies metaphysics. And metaphysics, the word meta, refers to beyond. Beyond. Mm-hmm. Meta means beyond. And physics refers to the physical world. So metaphysics is the study of things beyond the physical world. The basic concept of metaphysics is, I like to use a tree. If you look at a tree, if you look out your window or you're driving in a car, you see a tree, you'll see the trunk, you'll see branches. Depending on the season, you may see leaves in the tree. But what you don't see are the roots of the tree. They're underground. You can't see that. It's not visible. Well, as a metaphysician, we believe the energy that sustains our physical being as people is can't be seen. It's invisible. It's something beyond the physical. Metaphysics is the study of spiritual energy, energy, vibration on a spiritual level. So I like to use that metaphor, the tree. You can't see the roots. If you look at a person, what you are beholding is their shell. You're looking at their body. The body is a temple. It's referred to as a temple because it houses the spirit of God that animates all of us. If you consider God as a fire, each of us has a spark from the big flame inside of us. And this spark is eternal. It was created before we were in physical form. And our physical manifestations, or our lifetimes, are simply educational endeavors where life is a university of the soul. So without getting too complicated, that's what I'd say. Metaphysicians study the physical aspects of the spiritual aspects of physical beings. We believe we are not physical beings who have occasional spiritual experiences. Metaphysicians believe we are spiritual beings who are having a temporary physical experience.
You said temporary. A temporary
temporary physical experience. Lifetimes are, what, 3-4 score if you're lucky.
So you're saying that the energy goes on.
That is correct. We have many lifetimes.
On a spiritual level,
life is a university of the soul. For example, Muhammad, Jesus, Buddha, if these individuals were considered having attained the highest state of being in physical form, each of us is on a path to do that. Each of us are on a path to reach that same level. The Master Jesus told his disciples when they asked about his miracles, these and greater things will you do. He was saying, look, this is nothing. Once you guys figure it out, once you realize the kingdom of God is at hand, it's inside of you, you can touch and feel it, you can experience God here on earth, you'll be able to do the same things that I'm doing. That's what he said. So each of us is on the path. I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Each of us is on a path of evolving spiritually through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Our soul, which is eternal, is evolving to become, to have a Christ experience. That's the path we're on. So as a numerologist, okay, that's metaphysics. As a numerologist, my specialty is the study of numbers and letters and the energy they represent in that context. That context of we're spiritual beings created by the Word of God, words are vibrations we use letters and numbers as symbols for. The teacher says, ah, that's the A sound, boys and girls, but we're going to call that vibration B. 1, 2, these are numbers. These are the vibrations we use as symbols for this energy that we're talking about. So just as the teacher says, R is A and Bubba is B, the letters in our name and the numbers in our birthday are symbols for the Word of God that created us. We are literally the living Word of God. It's true. It's true. Now, I don't go along with how people have been using this energy or how it's been made into a hustle from time to time. But the fact remains is we were created by the Word of God, and each of us is a symbol or a manifestation of the Word. We are a living Word. Just as water can be steamed in gas form, liquid, and solid, if you put it in the freezer, it's all the same element. You can take an ice cube out and put it in a pot and pan and turn the heat up, and eventually it's going to dissipate into the air. So just as water can take those different forms, our spirit goes into physical form. We have a contract with God. That contract is defined in the numbers in our birthday, the letters in our name, and that's how numerology is utilized to help us on that path of becoming, that path of unfolding and becoming our Christ self. It's a tool. Jesus was a numerologist. It's a tool that he used. He changed the names of his disciples to enable them to manifest that which he foresaw them to do. He chose the number 12. 12 is the number of the perfect cycle. King Arthur did the same thing. So this number shows up often in history and in folklore, the number 12, perfect cycle. We have 12 months in our year. The cycle, it still persists today. So over time, these numbers, the meaning of these numbers have been lost over time. But we are in the time now that was spoken of back in the late 60s and early 70s, the age of Aquarius, when this information is coming forth. It's coming forth. It's being made clear now. It's being made plain. And as you said, it's been used for years and years. There are people who are aware of these disciplines. Many of these people will tell others not to use them, that they can't help you. And these are people who are seeking to maintain their own personal power, whereas the metaphysical disciplines are designed to help people to evolve their own personal power. So if everybody is working on their own personal power, evolving to become their Christ selves, that's the key to having heaven on earth. As opposed to
wow,
controlling them.
Wow, that is profound.
$15.
I mean, because I'm just hearing you. I'm sure you heard my, I guess, the editorial in the beginning about how we all can make a difference. But what you just said, we all have abilities to make a difference.
Yes, all the answers to all the problems all in the world are here. People just aren't stepping up. There's an answer that God has not given us things that we can't do, that He's provided for us. But the people who have the answers aren't stepping up, you know. So again, disciplines like numerology, most of my clients, they'll end up saying, you know, you just confirmed a lot of things for me. So it's things that they felt and thought and contemplated, but on the other end of that seesaw, there's fear and there's doubt.
Wow.
There's fear, there's doubt, and that's what's stopping people from achieving all that they've come here to do. But, you know, the system is set up so that there's really no timeline. You know, you can take as long as you like, but eventually everyone is going to get there. I believe at some point we'll reach like a critical mass. And it's not going to have to be 50% or 51%, you know, but I think we'll reach a critical mass, maybe just 30% of people who are seeking and living in harmony with God, trying to develop their Christ self to truly be of service to God and do what they were sent here to do, to manifest their contract, you know, to step up and be prophets. That's what we all are. Each of us is carrying, we're on a mission from God. Everybody on the planet has a contract. But we get distracted. You know, we get distracted and we get caught up in the things on this earth. But that's the challenge. It's easy for us to be heavenly when we're out of body. When we're in the spiritual realm, it's easy to be spiritual. Our values are tested here on the earthly plane. That's where it counts. That's where we really prove ourselves here.
You know, Dr. Wright, I tell you, we, I believe, get the most out of our programs when we go off script and we just speak as the Spirit speaks. Well, you just spoke on that, we're Spirit first. And therein lies the truth and the answers and the true enlightenment. I really in my heart believe that because of this discourse we're having right now. I think I'm speaking from, I believe, a spiritual perspective, not a mental or emotional perspective. I just sense where I am now, what I've experienced this week, that I am to fearlessly speak this truth. And in doing so this evening, you, not trying to patronize you, well, being a metaphysician, you live this life of speaking from the Spirit. So I believe it just enabled you to share that which you're going to naturally share without fear or contemplation, that which you have inside of you in relation to that energy that's given. And I think that really underscores what you're saying. If we can consciously work from that angle where we are living from that inner fire, that spark that you talked about, to produce, which we're capable of producing, will all bring to the table that which will make a difference to make this planet we live
yeah.
in. First we live
yeah.
in to be.
Yeah, that's a test. That's the test.
That's the test.
Too many people are bowing down to the image of gold. You know, there's
what
a story of the three guys. There's a story of the three guys in the Bible. Or King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to an idol, an image of gold, a golden image, an idol that he had. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and
yeah.
they refused to bow down to an image of gold. So the king threw them in the furnace. Threw them in the furnace and told them to heat it up. And, of course, the story goes, they survived the furnace And Nebuchadnezzar became a convert. I've got to have some of this God for myself. But what I'm saying is this story is about a test. And the test is about when it says the king wanted them to bow down to an image of gold. There are people who are doing things for financial gain that's not in harmony with their contract. Why are they saying it? So that story says the king always wants, the king wants us to bow down to an image of gold. Well, there's a test that, we'll face, many of us. Are you going to, I think the term is, be a sellout? Are you going to sell your soul for a for a job, for a salary, for money, for however it comes to you? And that's one of the main tests that we go through. Is that test of will you bow down to that image of gold? You know, and there's a lot of people who are guilty of that. particularly in our culture, where that's held as success, that esteem, that financial achievement is held as the ultimate success, and that's true for some souls. Some souls have come here to deal with finances and to try to achieve success on a monetary level, but maybe that's only true about 10%. The rest of us came here to pursue other things. So it's like, you know, they're putting you on, judging us, or we're allowing ourselves to be judged and have this paradigm of let's chase the dollar, and it's detrimental to why we're really here. But it's only a test. You know, it's only a test. It only will continue as long as we continue to put up with it, to accept it. And once consciousness rises to the level where, hey, there's enough GNP to feed everybody on the planet. When consciousness raises to that level, hunger will die. We're all in this together. We all breathe the same air. We all eat the same food. We all have the same needs. When consciousness raises to that level, there will be no wars. And that's the path that we're on. That's what we're here learning and growing in. You know, every now and then, you know, you think you've progressed a certain way. You know, sometimes we think the lesson is over, Obama. But then we realize we still have a long way to go, Donald Trump. So life will throw you a curveball and keep you on the path. Of seeking the highest within. As Stevie Wonder said, I'm so glad that he let me try it again, because my last time around I lived a whole life of sin, want to keep on trying until I reach my highest ground. That says it all right there. We're all metaphysically, wow. We're all spiritual beings on a path, having lifetime after lifetime, seeking the highest within, the higher ground. So, you know, when an aberration like Trump gets in, all that really does is just spawn more people seeking the highest. You know what I'm saying? Some souls have come here to be negative examples for us. You know, to be negative examples, to do things everybody says, oh, that's terrible, that's awful. Why? To help us seek the opposite of what they're espousing. So in the end, it turns out to be something good, like the story of the Christ. Without Judas, there's no crucifixion. You know, without the crucifixion, there's no Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So was this a a bad thing? Was this a betrayal? Or did he take one for the team based on his contract that he had before he was formed in the flesh? Before his body was in his mother's womb, he had a contract with the Creator to be the person that would facilitate the crucifixion, to get the ball rolling, and to be hated for all time.
But without, there would be no deliverance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
And if you know numerology, if you understand numerology, okay, the story of Christ is about the number three, from being sought by three wise men to arising on the third day for Easter. And the only three that has a zero in it was the 30 pieces of silver he was, betrayed by. 30 pieces of silver. That was the payoff for revealing the hiding place where Christ was hiding. That's what Judas was paid, 30. It's the only three associated with Christ, because 3 plus 0 is 3. It's the only three that has a zero with it. And in numerology, zero is a symbol for God. So if you understand the number code, you know, hey, this guy took one for the team. The 30 tells you this was part of God's plan for him to do what he did. Of course it was part of the plan, you know. God knows what's going on long before it happened. So, you know, with numerology, you understand, and you have a whole other perspective. This guy wasn't as evil as people say. He was the great facilitator to get that ball rolling. So, and that's revealed if you know the number code. It's clear. It's clear if you know the number code. It's spelled out. A lot of people say, well, is this, are you the devil? Is this spiritual? Is this religious? Oh, yeah. Most of the Bible is about numerology. The fourth book of the Bible is called Numbers. Many people have their name changed. And most of it happened in Egypt, where it was being taught by the great masters. In Egypt, Moses went to Egypt. He was a numerologist. He wrote the book Numbers. Psalms 90, verse 12, which is attributed to Moses, reads, "Teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom." Many, many examples. And once you know the number code, then you understand that the characters in the Bible, many of the stories about them, will reveal what type of experience you're going to have if your numbers match that character. For example, Jesus was a number 11. So the number 11 is a number of high spirituality and abundance, light, wisdom. And one of the people who is espousing a great deal of spirituality now is Oprah. Oprah is hooked up with Deepak Chopra, and Oprah is born on the 29th. 2 plus 9 is 11. So the 11 will make you a light bearer. You are here to be a light if you are number 11. Many examples. Moses. Moses was a number 8, a 17 to be specific. And Muhammad Ali was born on the 17th. So, you know, you can find out, if you understand the number code, the characters in the scripture will tell you what type of experience you can expect if your name matches that number, or if your birthday matches that number. The number 28 comes to mind, the story of Joseph, the guy who had the coat of many colors, and his brothers were jealous of him, threw him into a pit, started to kill him, but decided to sell him into slavery. And this guy ends up working as a slave with a king whose wife is attracted to him, and he runs away from the wife so he wouldn't do anything wrong. And the wife tears his robe and uses that as evidence against him to say he tried to rape her. I mean, and the whole time through the story, it looks like things are terrible for this guy. His brothers betray him. He's stolen to slavery. Then the king's wife lies on him. But the whole time, the scripture says, and God was with him. Of course, in the end of the story, the guy ends up being the number two man after he interprets a dream for the king. Seven fat cows, seven skinny cows. So the seven always a tip-off of faith. When you see the number seven in the scripture, it's about faith. So that's telling you no matter how bad things seem, if you have faith, you can overcome it. That's the message of that story. Joseph was a number 28. It's also telling you if you're born on the 20th of any month, when the letters of your name vibrate to the number 28, you are going to be opposed. People are going to do terrible things to you, but you're still going to come out smelling like a rose, bouncing on top like Joseph did. So when his brothers, who had betrayed him, came to Egypt looking for sustenance, he was there to feed them, and he didn't even hold a grudge. He saw God made it all happen just for that particular point in time when they would be in need, and he would be there to feed them. So if you're a 28, you got to have faith. You got to have faith.
But where does 7 come in with Joseph? Because he's a 28. I don't see where 7 comes in.
Yeah. 7. Well, Joseph was in prison. After the king's wife said he hit on him, the king threw him in prison. While he was in prison, it became known by the other prisoners that Joseph could interpret dreams. The prisoners would have dreams and tell Joseph about their dream. One prisoner told him a dream. He said, man, you are going to be free in 3 days. They're going to let you out of here. Another prisoner had a dream. Joseph said, man, they're going to come and they're going to chop your head off. They're going to kill you. So it became known of this talent. So the king was having a dream. King forgot about David. He threw his butt in jail and threw away the king. But he was having this dream about seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. Seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. So it, as it goes in the story, an inmate who was aware of Joseph's gift heard about the king's dream and told the king he had a guy locked up in his prison that could interpret the dream for him. King said, bring Joseph up here. Joseph said, the seven skinny cows, the seven fat cows, king, mean for the next 7 years, your fields will be abundantly filled. Abundant. Grain will flow. Livestock will grow. For 7 years, that's the seven fat cows in your dream. But it said, but the seven skinny cows represent 7 years of famine. So you need to store up that grain and save that cattle. Preserve it. Store that grain. Build silos. Build silos throughout the country. Store up the grain during abundant time. Don't discard it or throw it away, the abundance, because those 7 years of famine are going to take you out if you don't. King got busy, started building, put Joseph in charge of all his resources. Joseph built the silos, preserved the cows, and was ready, just like a squirrel, had all the nuts ready for the wintertime. When the 7 years came in, they were fat. They were rich. People were coming from all over the place to try to get a hand out from the Egyptians because of Joseph foretelling of this of the 14 years that were coming. So that's how Joseph ended up being associated with the number seven. Seven fat cows, seven skinny cows. But the message is, as you're going through trials as a number 28, and it looks like things are against you, keep your faith because God is with you and you're going to end up on top. And if you're born on the 20th of any month, you need to know that. Because it's going to get, I don't know why I'm laughing, it's a serious thing. I don't know. Sometimes, from a metaphysical perspective, I tend to make light of these things because I know we have so many times to get it right. But if you're going through it, it's not funny. You know, it wasn't funny to Joseph when he was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. It wasn't funny to Joseph when he was thrown into prison and because the king's wife lied on him. That was not funny. But the message is, keep your faith. If you're going through these trials and you're born on 28, if your name is the number 28, like Joseph is, and there's many of them, I can't rattle them off the top of my head. But if you're a number 28, then you can find out. You can find out if you're a 28 by visiting my website. There's a free download at www.craigiewright.com. Click on online class form, and you'll see a chart that tells you how to convert the letters in your name into numbers. Add them up, and if you find a number 28, faith is going to be a necessary ingredient for you to finally arrive at where God wants you to be. It's not going to be an easy ride, but if you keep faith, you're going to end up large and in charge, just like Joseph. Don't fight what's going on. Accept it. Keep your faith and wait for your moment. 28s are also very good with real estate from that story. It tells us because all the land was turned over to Joseph. It was, you know, agricultural society. So he was in charge of every crop, every acre. He was in charge of it to make sure it was fruitful and it was stored. So 28s are good with real estate. If you want to buy a house, you can wait for 28 months or a year. So that's just one example of, there's many stories, you know, of the numbers in the scripture. So people who are hesitant, people who have a deep spiritual belief in Christ, this is something you want to look into because Jesus was a metaphysician. He understood energy. He could walk on water. He did not buy into what was being preached at and taught during that time. The only time Jesus was in a church, he was turning over tables and kicking out the money changers. That's what got him in trouble. That's what got him before the trial judges in the first place. So you got to think outside the box and realize there are those who are seeking to utilize this information for their own aggrandizement as opposed to seeing you develop and achieve your highest ground.
Okay, well, you know what? We're running short on time because I know you have an engagement at the top of the hour. And we, well, first let me say last month, or actually it was in June because you were on in late June as opposed to the earlier part of the month, and you talked about July, and you said July was going to be a month of endings. Well, and I think you even used my birth date, and you said it was going to be some dramas, and I just have to say you were right on point. I'm laughing. I don't know why I'm laughing either. I guess because you said, saying now keep your faith.
That's the
and
key.
I'm telling you,
that's
you're
the
right.
Key.
I was just
you can
hold
laugh
on
at it. If you can laugh at it, you can make it through it, you know. You can make it through it because it's all going to change.
Yes, yes, I did. It was like, oh, my, what is this? What, I mean, it was just drama, trauma, and I was just with it. But you said it was going to be a month of endings, you know, different things ending. There were so many things that have been in place that did end and political circumstances at where I work, you know, ended, and I didn't know what that was going to look like afterwards, so I just kept going with it. Some of the partners that I was working with for my event coming up in the fall, we had to go our separate ways with that, and I had to establish new partners. mean, there were just several indicators, and every time I was saying, wow, you know, this is the things that you were talking about. I wasn't trying to bring it to me thinking about it. It just, these things occurred, and I was saying, well, that, I'm going to have to let that go. We're going to have to move on. And then it would occur to me, wait a minute, that's an ending. So you were right on point. I just wanted to mention that in terms of August.
Well, with that said, let me deflect. You know, I always
okay.
do. This is a science. This is a science. I've studied the science, so it's not like I'm doing magic or anything. It's like if you travel in a car 50 miles an hour and you go and you drive for 2 hours at 50 miles an hour, you will have traveled 100 miles, 2 times 50. So each number has a meaning. It's been, numerology has been around 4,000 years. That's how far back it's been recorded. So if you know the number code, then all it's just a matter of seeing what number applies for that particular moment in time. And the answers are there. It's a science. Like everybody knows number one means leadership, the best. Everybody knows that in America. I want to be number one. He's number one. Who won the tournament? They're number one. We're the number one this. Everybody uses that for advertisement. We're the number one company. Number one approved by doctors. Everybody uses because they know what the number one means. The first, the fastest, the top, the best. But what people fail to realize or it's behind the veil is every number has a meaning. Not just the number one. That's the carrot. The number one energy is the carrot in America that's held out there to drive us. Oftentimes in places we really shouldn't even be going.
That's profound. To often drive us places we shouldn't even be going. And you know what? We are so very materialistic. And I'm going to go right back to what you were saying in the beginning. There's enough GDP in this country for there to be no homelessness and no starvation. And like I was telling the listeners, and I believe you were in the studio at the time, what I saw in our capital was, you know, just, it was an atrocity. It was just horrible. But that's so many people wanting to be, like you said, that number one, to have everything. And so I'm prayerful and believing.
Yeah.
Martin
Luther King called it the drum major instinct. The drum major. And I want to be in charge. I want to be up front, you know. And that's just another one of the tests. That's why Jesus washed the feet of his disciples with his hair, blew their minds, humbled himself, got down on his hands and knees, and used his hair to wash their feet, and told them, the greatest among you will be the servants. But that's not how, that's not what plays out. That's not what plays out in this material realm we find ourselves in. So it's a test for us to awaken and use our true values. We come here, we see how the game is being played, and we have a choice. Most people decide to conform and just swim along. Get along, swim along to get along. But, you know, that gets old. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, that gets old, and we have to start to reach for something higher from within. For example, you are a 33, a master healer. A master healer. So you are reaching for something higher from within. There's something inside of you that is driving you to manifest this program, this, to put out the energy, the vibrations that flow through you, and that's part of your contract. You're fulfilling your contract to be of service, of universal service. The 33 is the number of universal service to everyone, black, white, pink, blue. So you'll find yourself working in environments where there are groups and mixtures of people. Universal service. So it's a fascinating science. I encourage everyone, you know, whether you visit my website, get my book, or go to the library. I laugh now when I first started studying numerology and back in 1972, I first started studying it. I had to go to the Library of Congress to get books on numerology. Now you can go to any bookstore. You can go online. There was maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 people doing numerology when I first started. Now there are thousands of numerologists online. So, you know, if you you don't have to patronize, you know, my website or buy anything from me, but go to the library, get a book on numerology. It's going to really benefit you. Really be a benefit.
Dr. Wright,
and
before
that said,
we close, and I'd like to ask if you can, you know, consider, and we can talk offline, coming back later in the month, because I know we had a short discourse this evening and we didn't get to take any of the callers, and I know they're sitting out there with their heads like puzzled. Can you give us a quick little insight about August? And generally, in a short 100,000 feet, so to speak, idea of what that looks like. And I would like to touch base with you and see if you can come back, because we have listeners that wanted to talk with you. But can you give us some insight about August?
Very briefly, as I informed you, I have a commitment at 8 o'clock. But
yes.
This month for August is a number 29. August, of course, is the eighth month. So we start with the number eight. Next, we're going to add the energy for this year. 2 + 0 + 19 = 21. So when we add the month eight to the year 21, we get 29. That's where it comes from. That's how you compute it. And the number 29 has, for the last 4,000 years, been a symbol, just as the number one is a symbol for leadership, being the best, being first, winning. The number 29 is a symbol for learning period, commercial opportunities, and offers of help. Learning periods, so it's time to go to school. Life's about to teach you some things, artists. Commercial opportunities, if you're in business, this is going to be a great month for you. If you're thinking about starting a business, you want to launch it this month. And offers of help. 22 + 9 = 11. I spoke on that earlier. That was Jesus' number. The name Jesus was a number 11. So this is going to be a great spiritual month of spiritual awakenings. Great month for prayer, spirituality, meditation, and great rewards. Jesus came so that we will have life and have it abundantly. The number 29 can give you abundance. As I mentioned before, Oprah was born on the 29th. Business ventures, commercial openings, partnerships. This is the energy for August. For Oprah, it was for her whole life. She was born on the 29th. Okay, so business opportunities, ventures, taking the help from reputable business people, being open to offers of help, all of that is open and available to us this month. If we use the energy wisely, we stand to profit, and our peers, some of us will be receiving honors and recognition, those who are willing to step up and let their light shine. This is a month to let your light shine. Daryl,
so
wish I had more time. Yes, that's the number 29.
That's for me as well.
Yes, the same as Oprah. The number 29. It's the energy for the universally this month for all of us. For you, it's for your whole life. The number 29. Daryl, gotta run, buddy. I appreciate the opportunity. Please get in touch with me for the next time.
All right.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. Well, that should have hopefully opened up some minds and some spirits. You know, I love that as I was talking with Dr. Wright about 20 minutes ago, saying, you know, we were going to open up the lines, and there are a number of folks that wanted to talk with Dr. Wright and have him to give some specific insight with regard to their birth dates and or their loved ones' birth dates. So you can believe me when I say I will be reaching out to Dr. Wright this weekend and seeing if we can have him come back either next week or the week after. So you have a advance notice to reach out to your loved ones. Consider yourself if you'd like to you know, get some insight on what this month specifically holds for you, or even the remainder of the year. We'll have a special extended program, I'm hoping, for next week. If you're not on my mail list, get on the mail list. I'll be sending that out. If it's going to be next week, I'll be sending that out on Monday, okay? You'll know in advance if it's going to be next Thursday or the Thursday after. But I'd like to do a special program based on some of the things I talked about early on. If you didn't catch it and you joined late, go to the archives. Go to Blog Talk Radio, BLOGTALK radio.com, blogtalkradio.com /Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. That's the network that I air on. And when you go to that website, you're going to see all the programs on that network, predominantly mine, Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly, by date. That would be August 1st. And catch the beginning of the program. I did a little editorial. I had been traveling this week. I was in D.C., and I spoke about some of the things that I heard and saw there, and I took it from a more spiritual perspective as to what's happening in our society. And I spoke on that. So I encourage you all to go back to the archives and catch that, because when Dr. Wright comes back, we're going to touch base with some of that and some of the things that are going on in the community there and in many of our cities, especially in the African-American inner cities, in terms of what's happening. And so I have a special program lined up to address with Dr. Wright and his perspective from a numerology aspect as to where we are, what's going on, and what we can do. So do look at that. There's a caller. I don't know. Dr. Wright has left the air, but I'm going to open up the line right now to see if the person wants to have a comment for me, or if he or she was trying to comment with Dr. Wright. 216-799. That number's familiar. One of my regular listeners. Who is that? 216-799. Are you there?
Yes. Yes. Hello?
Okay. Did you have a question for myself, or did you were you trying to catch Dr. Wright before he left the air? The line is open. If you had just a comment about what's going on, period. You're on the air.
That's what I was trying to do. So I'll just speak to you hopefully after your program.
Okay. I know the voice. And definitely, I will reach out. I will reach out to you.
Thank you.
And as I said, I'll make sure that you're aware when Dr. Wright is returning. I'll make sure that you specifically know so that you can get on early and you can have your question or concern addressed directly with Dr. Wright. I will promise you that. And in the meantime, I'll make sure I touch base with you offline after the program. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Progressive News. Okay, so with that said, we're going to conclude the program. August is 29, right? And, you know, what we were talking about is if it's going to be a change, it's going to have to come from a grassroots, folks. And with this being a 29-month, right, it's a learning period, he said, commercial opportunity. But also we understand just that whole aspect of 29 as he said, with Oprah, it's a good energy for getting things done. So let's all experience that energy, commercial opportunities. Okay, that's all good. But he also said this is a time period where people can help. People can be helped and people can help. There'll be offers of help. So let's just reach out. It could be a family member. It could be a neighbor. Let's utilize this energy because we're not just going to be making the attempts to help, but our efforts will be fruitful. So I thought that was positive, and we're going to elaborate on that when Dr. Wright comes back in the next week or two to get some more meat on that. But in the meantime, certainly enjoy it. This is a great time for spirituality, he said. There are great rewards in store for those who are willing to put forth efforts. So this is a real positive for us, folks, I believe. So we want to give help and be expecting help, and that's a good thing. All right. So with that said, I'd like to just close with a little bit of a deliverable in addition to what I just said, and that is to reach out and help. Reach out and let's make a difference, folk. You know, he spoke about a quickening, a critical mass. It reminds me of a reading that I've engaged in over the many, many, many years. One of my favorite reads, which talks about a critical mass, and I do believe that as bad as things look, that you know through the persistence of those of us, and it doesn't have to be the millions of masses. It just takes the energy of those who have the will and the courage to stand up and stand out, like Dr. Wright mentioned. But the book I was referring to was The Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield. You can get it at Amazon, and you can get it in Barnes & Noble. And they talk about a critical mass that's coming across our society. So in all that you're seeing around you and that you're going through and that we're going through, as he said, the faith will be the key that will unlock the door to resolution, that will unlock the door to vindication, that will unlock the door to the enlightenment and the evolution of wellness and balance that is so needed in this society right now. So it all starts from an energy level. I'm going to suggest that you're deliverable. If you don't take anything but 2 minutes, that's right, I didn't say 10. I said if you don't take anything but 2 minutes when you're off the air of time with just you and your spiritual self, get out of the physical. You don't have to, but you should just close your eyes for a moment and just see yourself. Close your eyes, that's right, and I said see yourself. Imagine yourself standing in front of yourself, looking at yourself with your with your eyes closed, you've transcended when you've done that. And just see yourself as a spiritual light. And I'm going to leave it there. You'll be surprised what you'll gain. If nothing else, you'll gain a sense of peace. Because in order to do that simple little process, you have to get out of the physical. In order to visualize yourself for those few minutes, and it'll begin a transformation for you and your loved ones that I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with. And so, for those of you who have loved ones around you, and that would be, I would suspect, just about everyone, whether you know it or not, and I believe everyone does know that there's someone around them that does care, let them know. You know, tell them. Don't just show it. I mean, they say, you know, an act is worth a million words, an act of kindness. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to let someone know. Just let it fall upon their eardrums. And if they're not able to hear, then just spell it out to them in a note. And if they're unable to see, just put your hands on them with love. They'll get the energy. It's time for a critical mass to take place in our society, folks. There's a lot of, I'm going to use a technical word, a lot of mess going on out here. A lot of mess. And it's reaching a crescendo. And that's a beautiful thing. Like Dr. Wright said, you know, we don't always take a negative as a negative, because without Judas, there'd be no crucifixion, there'd be no redemption. So, even though this crescendo of negativity, if you want to call it evil, you can do that, is occurring, there's a balance to life. And that balance of life is there. We just have to tap into it. And that's why I ask you to do that little exercise. And so until next week, tell that someone or someones that you do care about that you love them. Just simple. It's one beautiful thing about love. You can give it away 1,000 times and still retain it and give it 1,000 times. It's endless. Until next week, I give you my peace, my love, happiness, prosperity, wellness, and those higher, resolute desires and goals that you seek for yourself and your loved ones. You can't help someone else unless you've gotten yourself together a little bit at least, right? So let's do that. And in the meantime, love will bring us back together. Peace and blessings. Reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. Daryl_CLA18@MSN.com. Till next week. Happy August.